Today is a day that we are going to, for the next few moments, just try to stop and go back and think about what happened 21 years ago today. So if you'd bear with me, I'm going to talk about a lot of things before. I'll interpose some scripture throughout and then at the end a little bit more. But I do want to say welcome and thank you to those, all of those that were honored just a few moments ago for being here. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for, I thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to recognize you and the part that you play in helping so many people in our nation. September 11th, 2001, do you remember where you were? Do you remember when you heard? I was in the sticks of West Virginia, and our pastor called and said, "Hey, something's crazy going on." We didn't have a television. He said, "Come on over here." And went over there and began to watch the events unfold. Let me just refresh your mind. At 7:59 a.m., American Airlines Flight 11 left Boston for Los Angeles with 92 passengers on it. At 8:14 a.m., United Airlines Flight 175 left Boston for L.A. with 65 passengers. At 8:20 a.m., American Airlines Flight 77 left Washington Dulles for Los Angeles with 64 passengers. And at 8:41 a.m., United Airlines Flight 93 left Newark, New Jersey for San Francisco, California with only 44 passengers on it. None of those people could dream what was about to happen. At 8:46 a.m., American Airlines Flight 11 crashed into the World Trade Center North Tower, taking out the floors of the 93rd through the 99th floor. At 9:03 a.m., United Airlines Flight 175 hit the World Trade Center South Tower and took out floors 75 to 85. At 9:37 a.m., American Airlines Flight 77 crashed into the western facade of the Pentagon. And at 9:59 a.m., the World Trade Center South Tower collapsed. At 10:07 a.m., United Airlines Flight 93 crashed into the ground in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And at 10:28 a.m., the World Trade Center North Tower collapsed. Let us never forget, 2,996 people lost their lives that day. Many just at work. Many trying to save lives. Many in the vicinity due to the collapse. Just a little bit of the statistics from that day. Again, 2,606 people died in the World Trade Center and the surrounding areas there. 125 people died in the Pentagon. 265 died on all those four planes. Over 6,000 other people were injured because of this. Of those who died, 343 of them were firefighters and paramedics. 71 were law enforcement professionals. 55 were military personnel at the Pentagon. 2,605 were U.S. citizens. Think about this. 90 other countries lost citizens. The United Kingdom lost 67. The top three, Dominican Republic, 47, and India lost 41. We must never forget that this was the deadliest terror attack in the history of the world. By the way, as Americans, we must never forget the over 670,000 U.S. military men and women who have lost their lives in combat throughout our nation's history. We've got to remember, lest we forget. We must also never forget that of the 246 years of our nation, think about this, 229 of those years have been in conflict or at war. I don't know if you ever thought about that. 246 years we have been at conflict or in war. And this is all because of part of what was said, freedom isn't free. Amen. There's a cost involved in keeping a nation free, and we must be willing to stand and fight. We must never forget that there's an evil in the heart of man, as preacher mentioned earlier. And for men are all sinners, and there are some who to this day despise and hate our nation and our God. That's the facts. We must never forget that there are countries who still call us the great Satan and live trying to figure out how that we might die. crying death to America. And by the way, death to Israel too. Two nations, one God. Amen. Don't ever forget that. We must never forget that we were established as a Christian nation on the principles of that precious word of God that you hold in your lap right now, no matter what our liberal leaders try to say. I'm going to just quote a few of our founding fathers. I want you to think about this. Alexander Hamilton made this statement. I quote, "The two things which made America great were Christianity and a constitution formed under Christianity." James Madison at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 proposed the plan for the three branches of government based upon the perfect governor as he read from the Bible, Isaiah 33:22, "For the Lord is our judge," that's the judicial branch, "the Lord is our lawgiver," the legislative branch, "and the Lord is our king," the executive branch. He will save us. Amen. That's where our branches of government came from. And liberal leaders today try to say that God had no part in the founding of our nation. Patrick Henry, the orator of the Red Revolution, made this statement, "It cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." That's the orator of the revolution. He's the one, that's the statement he made. George Washington said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Also, he said this, "To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian." Amen. Abraham Lincoln said, "We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined that all things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own, intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." We must never forget that 33% of all the quotations from the founding fathers in our founding era were scripture quotations. Amen. They're still on all the Ivy League schools. They're sandblasted into the walls and the gates and all of the Ivy League schools. How in the world are you ever going to take that away? As wicked as they become. We must never forget that while the tenets of some people and some religions are that they are or will be rewarded by taking the lives or of others' lives and being evil. But our Bible tells us in Romans 12:21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Amen. And that's what we're to do as God's people. We must never forget. Think about this. The original Harvard University student handbook, I read from it, in 1636, it said, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life." Amen. John 17:13. "And therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning." James Madison, I quote again, "Cursed be all that learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." How about this? The U.S. Supreme Court in 1892 established this and put it in their documents. I quote, "This is a Christian nation." Congress printed a Bible for America in 1782. And they recommended and approved the Holy Bible for use in all schools. In 1962, they were removed. I wonder why we're where we're at today. Can you even think about that? That Congress printed a Bible for America. And by the way, what kind of Bible do you think it was back in those days? The King James Bible, amen, was printed and was given to everybody. And in 1864, Congress added by law, "In God we trust" to our coins. It's also inscribed on the Washington Monument. Amen. Andrew Jackson, he said this. I quote him again. "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." Amen. The Gettysburg Address, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overriding power of God, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Amen. He also said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." Amen. Well, that's a good one for today. Amen. What are you saying? Boy, we need to remember lest we forget. We better remember where we came from. Don't you think for one moment that we weren't attacked because of the God of our country. Amen. That's the reason why we were attacked. Christianity, again, is a religion for saving people for rewards in heaven, not killing them. Amen. We're supposed to be out there telling other people about him. Amen. Again, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And by the way, our Bible also tells us in Mark 12:32, the scribe said, "There is one God, and there is none other but he." Amen. There's only one God. There's not multiple gods. There's not multiple ways to heaven. There's one God. Amen. It also says in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Amen. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible that everybody quotes and everything. If you just stop and think about it, what did God say from heaven? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in should not perish but have everlasting life." There's only one way to heaven. Amen. The little song that we used to teach the children and hopefully still teach the children. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be saved. Repent, believe, and Christ receive. There's only one way to be saved. Amen. That's the only hope that we have for eternal life. Hey, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," in John 14:6. We must never forget that the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Romans 5:12 tells us that we're all sinners. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. We're all born with that sin nature in our life. Maybe we need Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we have no hope. He's our Savior. And in Romans 5:8, again, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." How more simple can it be? We're sinners. We need a Savior. His name's Jesus. Amen. And we've got to put our faith and trust in him. There's no goodness on our part and no works of our righteousness which would ever save us. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us." Amen. It's not anything according to what we do. One of the, being a fireman for those number of years and being those men that were in the building and the women and those that were lost in 9/11, there's so many, being around those guys for so many years, I'm telling you, there's so many that just believe that their good works are going to be able to get them to heaven. Well, boy, we need to let the world know that there's only one way to heaven. There's only one Savior that will take them to heaven. Amen. It's nothing that we do, but it's everything that Jesus did. Amen. In Luke 13:1-5, it tells us what God requires of us is to acknowledge and to repent of our sin by receiving the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name." What do you mean? There has to be a time in our life where we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's simply acknowledging our sin, acknowledging that we're separated from God, that we in our own selves are not good enough. We don't have enough righteousness to get to heaven. But believing that Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, died on the cross to save us from our sins. And simply receiving the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Simply being willing to receive that gift of eternal life. That's the way to heaven. Today is a day we stop and we think and we look back about what happened those 21 years ago. There's so many other quotations that I could have read from the founding fathers and everything. And again, reasons why I believe that we were attacked and why there are evil people that want to destroy this country and evil people from within today who want to destroy this country also. But let me leave you with just three thoughts. And the first one is simply this. Never forget the people. What do you mean? Don't forget the people. Man, there's... I have so many other things I could read to you, but it's said that 1/5 of the nation knew somebody or had a friend or somebody that was involved in what happened on September 11th. Isn't that something? 1/5 of the nation. If you realize the population of our nation is concentrated in that area of our country, the greater population. They would never forget the people that lost their lives. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Amen. People of all races and creeds, people who are proud to call themselves Americans, people who long to be able to call themselves Americans too. And then people who hated America. We got to remember the people that were involved in it. We need to remember the people that served and that for the years and for months and years afterwards. And the people, I was just talking with one of the ladies before the service and talking about how there are people that have died since 9/11. There's so many people that have died because of the after effects of it, because of what the breathing in the caustic toxic substances and everything, which has created their deaths also. But we can't forget that it's continuing to affect people. But second, I want you to remember the patriotism we had back then. What do you mean? Man, I'm telling you, you talk about heightened patriotism in our country. I mean, it sounds a little crazy to me, but I mean, thinking about it going back. But again, we were in West Virginia at those times, and I can still remember, preacher, driving down past the old bar down there and a big old sign that they bought and they put out in front of the bar, "Pray for America." And what are you saying? I mean, people everywhere were thinking about God. They were thinking about, boy, I tell you what, you didn't want to stand up and say, praise Allah in front of anybody in America back in those days. Amen. Because somebody was going to die if you did that. Amen. Why? Because we believe in our country. We believe in our nation. We believe that this was a nation founded upon the word of God. And a true patriot will believe that. Amen. We can never forget the patriotism that we had. By the way, patriotism, let me give you the definition of this. Webster's definition of patriotism, it said love of one's country. How many of you love your country today? Well, then you're a patriot according to Webster's dictionary. It says passion which aims to serve one's country either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. It says patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen. What are we hearing today? Just what you said earlier. What are we hearing today? Boy, you raise a flag and people are like, oh, that's a symbol of hate. That's a sign of hate. No, that's the evil and the wicked behind those that would destroy what a true patriot really is. That was patriotism. The definition for patriot, a person that loves his country and zealously supports and defends it and its interests, one devoted to the welfare of one's country. Amen. According to Webster's 1828, no matter what a corrupted society may say, it is politically correct to be a patriot. Amen. We all ought to be patriots. We ought to stand for not where we've become, what we've become, but where we came from. Amen. Never forget the patriotism back in those days. Man, what would happen if we would have a surge in that again. I'm going to tell you what, to have a surge in patriotism is a surge in going back to believing what we believed as the beginning and the foundation principles of our nation. What's that? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Getting the gospel out, telling other people about Christ. And then let me say lastly, never forget the principles. What do you mean? The principles of our nation. That's why all these things happened. The principles of the Bible, the Word of God. Man, we're to be grounded in this book. The truth of the matter today is it would probably scare us all if we had everybody, we pulled a screen down and had everybody's life put up on that screen and how much time we spend in this book every day. It'd probably scare everybody. We can't forget. That's the principles of what this nation was founded and built upon. We got to get back to it. We got to get back to the truth of God's word. The principles of the Bible. By the way, the principles of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We believe that from the very beginning. That's what Patrick Henry said. From the very beginning, hey, we were founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back to it. Let's get back to telling other people about it. That's helping other people to understand and know that there is a Savior that loves them. By the way, getting back to the principles of morality and decency and respect. What has happened to a nation? And our nation is so disrespectful, so ungrateful. So what are you saying? Boy, our nation needs a lot of help. Where are we going to get that help? In that book that you hold in your lap. And the Savior that died to save all of us from our sin. Amen. What are you saying? There are a lot of things that we must never forget. But again, the most important is that there's only one Savior. His name's Jesus Christ. He came and died for you upon a cross. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, if you've never received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we offer that to you today. God offers that to you today. You'll have an opportunity here in just a moment that you can come forward and we can share with you the truth and how you can put your faith and trust in Christ so that you can know that you're on your way to heaven. I when I'm witnessing soul winning to people, I like to share the story of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, of course, is the story of Nicodemus. If you want to turn there real quick in your Bible, I haven't had you turn to any of these. I've just been quoting things to you. But John chapter 3, I love this little story. Of course, this is where the most famous verse in the Bible comes from. But at the beginning of it, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came by to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Interesting. Boy, there's something special about you because nobody could do these things if they didn't come from God. And verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Boy, that's, if you ever stop to think about that, that's kind of strange that he would say that right after the questioning or what the Nicodemus said to him. But what do you mean? Jesus got right to the point. What do you mean? You're not going to get to heaven unless you've been born again. And can I get right to the point this morning? You ain't going to get to heaven unless you've been born again. Amen. Unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what he goes on to tell him. Hey, Nicodemus, he was this religious guy, but he had no idea. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What do you mean? I got to go back in and come out again? And it says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's our natural birth, and of the, capital S, Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So what is this born again thing? So many people today will say, I don't understand. What's this you Christian things, this you Baptist, this born again stuff? It's what Jesus said had to happen. You got to be born again. No, you don't have to be born a second time out of your mother, but you have to have a spiritual birth. I tell people this way, you got to have two birth certificates. You got one birth certificate in this life, which gives you the time, the place, your parents, and all of that on it. Well, the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a spiritual birthday where you're born again into the family of God. You have to have that to be able to get to heaven. I share this with people all the time, too. I love people to tell me your testimony. Tell me your testimony about salvation. Take me to the time and the place where you realized you were a sinner. You were lost, you needed a Savior, and you called out and received Christ as your Savior. I say that time and time and time again. I was in a church not long ago, and I preached there. I've preached in that church many, 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 many times before. And a lady came up to me, and she's probably in her mid-60s, late 60s, and she said, Brother Martin, I got to tell you something. I said, what? And she's a faithful person in the church there. She said, I got saved a month ago. I said, you what? I mean, it blew me away, brother. I sound like, she said, I got saved a month ago. And I said, you got saved a month ago. I said, what in the world? And she went right back to that. And she said, you know what? She said, people would come in and preach on hell and people would talk about these things. And then you had said before and other people have said, you know, take me to the time and the place, the time and the place, the time and the place. And she said, every time you'd say that, I'd say, I don't want to hear that. I don't have a time and a place. I've just always believed or always thought. She said, but I finally trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm going to tell you, there's got to be a time and a place. There was a time and a place where you're born into this life, and there's got to be a time and a place where you're born into the family of God. Amen. Amen. Do you have that time and that place? Are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? If not, today could be the day. Amen. What do you mean? I'm just saying today, we need to stop and we need to remember some things today. We need to remember the things that happened and took place. But for the sake of, first of all, it changed our world forever. It changed our nation forever. It's one of those points in history where time splits. And you remember pre-9/11 and post-9/11. Amen. We need to remember those things. But we need to get back to the basic tenets. And what's that? We got attacked because we're a country founded on the principles of the Word of God. A country that loved the Lord. We got to get back to that today. If you're not saved today, boy, I challenge you. If you're not born again, give us an opportunity to help you to be able to get that settled today. And secondly, how many of you are born again? You're saved. You have no doubt about it. And you're proud of it. You can raise your hand as a testimony. Here's the second thing. Then we raise our hand and say, I'm saved. I'm proud of it. I'm glad. Then what are we doing about telling a lost and dying world? Are we out there telling the world that there's a Savior that died to set them free, to give them a hope of eternal life?